Hi, this is Amy, Dry Eye Diva. I'm here today with Leslie O'Dell, Dry Eye Diva of the East. And also, we have a guest from the male side, optometrist Mark Schaefer. Welcome, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm good. Would I be a Devo, I guess? Would that actually be? Or a Divas? A Divas? Devo?
Diva sounds like what is it? Beavis
right.
And Butthead?
It doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't sound good. But I think Diva, Devo, it's all a movement now. It's a global movement. So we're just, we're all divas because we're passionate about our beauty and our beauty routines and our hygiene. So it's okay if you come in and chat with us because actually the bro beauty market is growing exponentially. So you're a guy and you can chat with us.
So being kind of a guy, So being a guy, and also a male, eye doctor, it is a good perspective because sometimes people feel like they're not sure even how to broach the topic with their patients. But I always say it doesn't have to be a gender thing because whether you're male or female, hopefully you're doing something to wash your face. So you're getting exposed to some kind of chemicals, no matter, what you are.
Yeah, and Mark, did you ever actually think that you would be talking about eye makeup when you went to optometry school?
Of course. That was the whole reason I got into optometry school. no, not at all. No, it's just something that we, in optometry school, was just kind of like, oh, makeup gets in the eye. We'll talk about what to do with that. But, that was it. That was the end of the discussion when you talked about eye makeup, and especially a younger OD first thing out. Like the last thing I want to do is talk to my, female patients about, hey, let me talk to you about your beauty regimen. Like here I am, this, 26, 27 year old doctor talking about beauty routines with these women who've been doing it for years. It's the last thing I wanted to do.
Well, I saw an interview with you recently and I mean, you're quite fluent on the subject actually, and it's really impressive. And I thought it would be great if we could talk to you today because obviously you have a lot of male colleagues out there who are in the same boat, whether they just started practicing optometry or whether they've been in the practice for many years. It's a huge area and importance to address with both the female and male patients. So, I mean, just from the beginning, how would you encourage your male colleagues to address this? Because as you said in school, you didn't really talk about it other than, well, your patients will be wearing eye makeup, so address that when you need to. But what would you say to them, and like how did you make yourself comfortable with the subject?
Yeah, well, as you can already tell, I like to inject humor into my eye exams, and before I launch into how we actually take care of the eyelid and the waterline and making sure that nothing happens with ocular surface disease, my first thing is, okay, listen, I'm going to talk to you about something that you're going to think is crazy. And if I told every single female patient, if I told one female patient that you can't wear eye makeup again, that would be my last female patient. And so that immediately makes everybody laugh and they take their guard down and they're a little bit more like, okay, like he's not telling me no. He's telling me how to do this safely with regards to my eyes. And then again, it's always related back to the eye exam itself. Here's what I'm finding. Here's what I'm seeing. Do you notice this? Do you feel this? It's always coming back to some sort of symptoms or complaints or something that I see. So using all of this to create this story of, we have a problem. We have something that's going on. I'm not telling you to completely change your life or shave your eyelash, pluck your eyelashes completely out. Let's just start from the beginning.
Well, do you ask your patients to remove their eye makeup before they come in for an exam? I mean, first and foremost, how do you ask them to prep? Because you need an icebreaker, like you just suggested, inject some humor into it. But do you ask them to come in with or without their eye makeup on?
For their comprehensive eye exams, my patients, it's really 50-50. We don't tell anybody come in wearing your eye makeup or not. I like seeing people in their average day-to-day world because when you come into our environment, when we're checking, if you take it just to visual acuity, we're testing vision at a high contrast chart in a very well controlled environment. So, that doesn't necessarily translate 100% to real life. So I want to see patients as they live their life. So if you wear eye makeup, wear eye makeup because I want to see what it looks like.
Well, Leslie has mentioned before that she's had patients, she's asked patients to take their eye makeup off before an exam, but they come in with supposedly without eye makeup on, but they're
in I think sometimes they women don't come in wearing their makeup because they know that we're going to put drops in their eyes. Mm-hmm. The only time I actually will say come in without is if we're doing some kind of treatment to help, you know, with meibomian gland dysfunction, because we're going to be removing their makeup in the office anyway. And it's easier if they just do that at home for us.
Yeah. For contact lenses, I mean, most of our contact lens patients, they are like, oh, I didn't put on my eye makeup because I know you guys were going to do something today. Or, man, I wish I didn't put on my eye makeup today because now I just wasted 10 minutes of doing this in the mirror to have it all undone by a medical exam.
Mark, do you ask your patients or do you tell your patients to put on their eye makeup before or after they insert their contact lenses?
I think it all depends. You know, someone who's a high minus or somebody who can't see without their contact lenses, like they need to wear their lenses when they're putting on their makeup because otherwise they can't see it. And I don't want to be responsible for them not feeling their best when they step out. But just making sure that they're putting on their eye makeup correctly, making sure that everything is done properly, and then lubricating the surface if they are putting a lens in just to kind of help flush everything out. But if they aren't putting on, they're not wearing their lenses and doing the eye makeup, still lubricating before they put in their lens, just to help decontaminate the surface as best we can.
Leslie has a lot of experience with that, right? You wear lenses, don't you?
Oh, yep. Contacts and makeup. I can see a little better, though. I'm actually post-LASIK with a little bit of refraction, so I can see to put my makeup on and then put my lenses in. What's one of the crazier things that you've seen as far as complications with your patients that you would relate to their beauty routine?
I mean, it's just, so the craziest, like, one-time thing that I've seen is I saw somebody who came in after getting their eyelashes tinted or their eyeliner tinted, permanently put on. And the person who did it put in a numbing drop in the eye, which I was like, I didn't know you needed that, but apparently they did, but they completely eroded the entire corneal surface.
Oh.
Yeah. And she was like, she was in a lot of pain. So we had a Procara. This was a Tuesday evening. Wednesday evening, because Friday morning she was going to Yosemite, and that's why she was getting, I don't know why you would get eyeliner tinted before you go camping, you know, for whatever reason she did.
Because you can't wash your face and you can't see in a mirror. She wanted to make sure whoever she was going with didn't know what she really looked like.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we ended up doing a Procara, healed up in 24 hours, and she was like, oh my God, thank you so much. And then she took a picture of the drop, and it says on the drop, do not put in eye. And I was like, well, you know, that's a complication that, you know, maybe not your day-to-day routine, but certainly a complication to, you know, an unregulated type market of beauty procedure.
Practice, yeah, exactly. Wow, that's scary. And obviously she's not the only one that's had a situation like that. I get that's something else we should look into, you know, what are some common practices and what should we look out for? But it's good that she was able to tell you that she had just had her permanent eyeliner or mascara tinted on, because that gave you something to look for in terms of what was the reaction. So I guess when you're speaking or you're addressing your male colleagues, you can say when a patient comes in and has some bizarre reaction, ask them questions like this. Mm-hmm. Have you recently done any treatments? Have you changed your products? Have you applied false eyelashes? Are there glues involved, removers involved? So that can definitely help. You don't have to be a biochemist to understand the ingredients, but in the case of the patient taking a picture of the bottle that said don't put in eyes, and maybe it could help. It could help you and your colleagues determine their next steps.
Oh, yeah. Well, that one wasn't I think it may be related to that, but it's one of those where patients don't necessarily want to tell you the whole truth about everything that's going on. Like, yeah, my eyelashes are real. And then you look behind a slit lamp and there's like, there is no way these are real, sweetheart. Like, these are fake.
Oh, boy.
No, these are mine. Sorry.
But you do bring up the good point. You have to tread lightly and just making sure that you give them options as to how to wear things makes them feel like you're not, you know, then they know that you're trying to be in their best interest health-wise, which is what they're mm-hmm. there for in the first place. Part of what sparked me to be interested in this topic was a talk I heard on like an Audio Digest, you know, actually a CD. So that's how long ago it was, but talking about makeup and eye problems. And the thought was you should just tell your patients never to wear makeup again. And I'm thinking, like you had said, a good way to lose, you know, female patients from your practice for sure. So speaking to that, have you had success? Yeah, we all see the complications that are related to the makeup as far as clogging meibomian glands, maybe adding to conjunctival redness, those kind of things that obviously help to create an ocular surface disease and dry eye. But as you treat that, do you see that they are more tolerable to what their routine is? They can wear their contacts longer, they can wear their makeup longer. Do your patients tell you that?
Yeah. So, you know, it's always important that we follow up with our patients because then, you know, I'd like to think that I'm the best educator there ever was, but I can assure you my staff will tell you patient gets four steps out the door and goes, what did he say? And so, you know, it's always good to continue to follow up and see them back and make sure that they are doing the prescribed treatment, but also making sure that they improve. And it's been really good to see these patients have a pretty marked improvement in a very short amount of time. So, you know, you put them on a treatment, you show them where to apply their eyeliner and makeup so that they can wear their contact lenses longer. They don't get those symptoms nearly as much, especially at the end of the day. And they come back and they go, you know what? My eyes do feel better. And you're like, see, like it's, I'm not telling you that you have to change everything about you. We just need to tweak your habits to show you how to do them better.
Mark, do you also speak with your male patients about their, say, beauty and grooming routines? Because actually, if we think about it, the male beauty market is huge. It's a multi-billion dollar market and it's growing. And a lot of men, say millennials particularly, are quite keen on making themselves look better. And it's a different market. It's a different approach, but this bro beauty market is really, it's important. And do you actually speak to men about what they use on their face as well?
Well, actually, hang on one sec before you answer. I just wanted Amy to kind of elaborate on what exactly do you think that all entails? I mean, the beards are a big thing right now in culture, but why don't you elaborate a little bit on just what that
absolutely.
Means.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, we have the male grooming. Of course, it does include facial hair and grooming of beards. But we're also talking about injectables for anti-aging, creams for anti-aging. Also, men are known to use eyelash growth serum as well. Hmm. And there is, in fact, a growing market for eye makeup for men as well. So men do use creams. Men do use serums for moisturizing anti-wrinkles. They do use injectables. They do use makeup and also colored contact lenses, pretty much any vanity product out there. And it's definitely a trend. I there are men that wear glittery eyeshadow and eyeliner as well. So I mean, this is not a market that is, say, male or female specific. So it's growing. And even, you know, what they wash their face with, even shampoo if you're in the shower. So I mean, the male beauty market is something that really does need to be addressed, and there are a lot more products coming out for men in particular.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, Mark. Sorry, Mark. Go ahead and tell us how you would tackle the men.
Yeah. So, well, I'm not a big guy, so don't tackle a lot of men.
Okay.
You know, if you had said even 2 years ago, like, Mark, you're going to need to talk to men about their beauty, I would be like, I live in Alabama. Come on now. Like, but I think this is also an area where we have to tread lightly, because you don't want to come off as, you know, culturally it's becoming more appropriate and more accepted for men,
acceptable,
especially
yeah.
with, the serums and the creams. And I can't tell you, my Instagram is just crawling with, and then they must know something that I'm like in my late 30s that they're like, oh, here you go. So article after article after sponsored ad, they're like, we got you.
See, Mark, you just admitted you use anti-wrinkle creams because your skin is so perfect and flawless. You must be using something.
I have to. I got to, you know, you got to think long term. But yeah, you want to have those conversations. And I think it's a, you want to be, again, sensitive and haven't worked out because it's not as prevalent and it's not as easy to see. You know, when you see a female patient wearing eye makeup, it's really easy to see that. When you have a male patient that's having issues, it can be a little bit more challenging to uncover those. So getting to the right questions, answering those, because it's, again, something that can be very personal in their hygiene routine, especially if they're getting something like an injectable, like Botox or fillers or anything like that. They definitely will not be very forthcoming in that information unless they are very forthcoming in that information. There's very, there's two different, either you know, and they tell you, and they've told four people during the workup that, oh yeah, I got Botox yesterday. Or it's the kind that I'm never going to tell, no matter what you say, I'm going to deny. This is my natural skin.
That's interesting to think about, because I would say that there probably is a little bit of dynamic as to how forthcoming patients are. Maybe females, I mean, it seems like it's almost they want to tell everybody that they're getting Botox. So, you know, it's kind of like, if you're not getting it, what's wrong with you? But it's not as widely talked about, I feel like, for some men. So do you have any tips on just how, say I was examining you and I had some concerns about maybe what your daily routine was, what might be the best language to use for me to break the ice with a patient that would be male?
Yeah. And I think you used a really key term, which is daily routine, right? So when you ask someone what they do on a day-to-day basis, you're not asking them cosmetically what they're doing. You're asking them, what do you do every day to take care of yourself? And it kind of, by doing it that way, it's like, okay, tell me, because this is, you know, the eye is affected by creams and skin and skincare products, what are you using as a skincare product now? Because we can see allergies that affect the lids, the lashes, and the eye itself, and kind of phrase it in that way. And I think that will resonate, just because it's, again, coming from a, what do you do on a day-to-day basis? Explain it to me. I'm dumb, right? Like, you know, you want to say, I don't live with you. You know, my wife has 32,000 products on her counter. I don't know what her day-to-day routine is. I see a lot of them. But, you know, just asking and being as upfront without being, you know, cosmetically.
Well, and nobody wants to feel old, right? That's the line that we walk. You don't want to make anyone feel old.
Well, just by discussing injectables or a beauty, hygiene, skincare routine doesn't necessarily make someone feel old, because you have teenagers who are also doing injectables. So I guess maybe that's something else that we have to think about, how best to phrase to people when you have your patients in the clinic. How do you approach them and say, look, I know your age and I know you're trying to look younger, but, you know, you got to admit what you're using so I can help treat you. Maybe that's a good thing to discuss and determine what are the best ways to approach your patients, because it's, these products are more or less omnipresent. Everybody uses something different, but Mark, to your point, your wife has several thousand different products on her shelf. You don't know what she uses every day. So why should you automatically assume that one of your patients is using something or not using something just because of their age or just because they're male or female? So it's a great way of, maybe that's how you inject humor into the exam. And that's how you, maybe that's one of the great ways you can start off and just say, you know, wow, I never realized that men are growing their eyelashes or something like that. Or
flattery always works. You'd be like, man, your skin looks amazing. What are you doing? Right. Yeah. So everyone will be bragging if you say, what, your skin looks so beautiful. What are you doing? Oh, I'm doing blank, 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 and blank. And they will just shotgun, just fire them out as if, you know, it's we Southerners, we love flattery. As a disclaimer, I will say that I have a couple thousand skincare products for me. So I don't want to say that, like, it's just my wife. I do too. Because you got to look good. Well,
thanks for contributing to the economy. That's fantastic. Well, I think this is very educational and very helpful. And Mark, thanks for sharing your pointers on how to discuss how you think your male colleagues can discuss with their patients about beauty products and skincare, but also, you know, how men need to approach this and also be open with their eye doctors. And they don't have to air it on Instagram. They don't have to show how to, you know, apply their smoky eye that they do at night under candlelight. But, you know, it's good. It's good for everyone to be on the same page and understand that our beauty and skincare routines can impact our eye health.
Yeah. Thank you again for having me. This has been amazing. I've been waiting so long to be a part of this. So thank you for including me as a Devo.
Thanks for joining the movement.
We're so glad that you got to call in. So thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Look forward to talking to you all again soon. Take care.
Bye-bye.